You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream. This is AfterBuzz TV for American Horror Story. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest American Horror Story news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show is off and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for American Horror Story.
Hello, hello, welcome to AfterBuzz. My mic is finally on. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV for American Horror Story, Season 1, Episode 5, the conclusion to the two-part Halloween episode aired last night, Wednesday, November 2nd. As always, I'm your host, Billy Nellis, joined with the wonderful David Scifoletti.
Hello.
He's not that wonderful.
I'm pretty amazing.
He's pretty wonderful.
And we have two. Oh. I don't know what's happening.
Jesse loves to toy with the sound effects.
Is there a huzzah button yet? Is the real question.
Yeah.
2 days later.
Love it.
Is there a huzzah button?
And those two new voices you're hearing are no strangers to AfterBuzz, but they're joining us for the first time on American Horror Story, the lovely Deidre Bahar and Stephanie Chaplick.
Yay!
High five!
Thank you guys for coming in and joining us. We finally have some ladies at the table.
I know, right?
I'll be honest. David was telling me about the show, and it sounded a little weird. Because everything David does is weird. But then I watched it, and I haven't felt this pumped on a TV show in a really long time.
Right?
And where then you texted me, were like, you have to watch this now.
Yes. You're and I wasn't die. Kidding.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing.
Everyone who I've talked to who does watch it feels, I think, exactly the same way. It's like this cult little following that keeps growing and growing and growing.
You have to be a super fan.
Yeah.
Or get out.
You either, I feel like,
or get out.
I feel like it is that kind of show where either you love it or you probably will hate it. But there's not going to be an in-between where you just
I don't know how you could hate it.
You only hate it because you don't like scary things.
Yeah. My sister
exactly.
hates it.
All right.
She appreciates the, like, awesome cinematic value, the incredible acting, mm-hmm. but she, anytime she sees me watching it, she's like, okay, bye, see you in an hour. So.
All right, well, let's get into last night's episode. So it was the conclusion to our Halloween sort of terror that we experienced last week. We saw really the conclusion of the stories that were started with Tate and with Ben. We got some intense answers to Tate's backstory that I think for the past 4 weeks we've been patiently waiting for,
yes.
finally coming to some sort of understanding of just who Tate is and what's going on with him. So I want to jump into that first, actually.
Okay.
Because that seemed to be, besides Hayden and Ben, that seemed to be like the meat of this week's episode was really who Tate is, what he did, and sort of what his history is.
Well, what we think he did.
Right.
And who we think he is.
Because I still have no idea. Thank you, American Horror Story.
Over here, yeah. I did love the flashbacks, though. Especially, like, because it was just recently Halloween, and there were so many people this year dressed in, like, what would you call it? Like, Dia de los Muertos? Like,
yeah,
the makeup?
Yeah, kind of that.
It was really popular this year, and then to see the flashback scene of Tate walking through the school with mm-hmm. the makeup on, you know he did some gnarly stuff
right.
in that
school
hall.
Well, who knows if that's even him at this point? We've only saw, like, a glimpse of it and then a little bit when he was talking about it. But when he was talking about it, there was a lot less makeup.
Mm, so red herring. They're trying to make us believe it was him, but potentially not?
I think so.
No, I think it was him.
I think it was him, too.
I pretty firmly think it was him.
Yeah.
All those ghosts were so pretty adamant.
So convinced that it was him.
What did they want?
It seemed like to me
revenge.
It didn't even seem like they wanted revenge so much as they wanted him to acknowledge what he had done to them. Because their whole thing was just say what you did, just say what you did. Why can't you say what you did? That seemed like all that they really wanted. They wanted him to acknowledge it.
Right.
Admit it.
And feel bad about it.
Because I think as ghosts, they're trapped somewhere where they're seeing Tate not suffer for what he did, not even being held accountable for it, and right. they
but,
want that.
But here's the thing. Isn't Tate dead like them?
Right.
That's the question.
That's the question. But even if he is dead, it seems to me that he never was held accountable at any point in time. And as ghosts now, at least they want that.
Right. How long ago did he die?
Well, she said she was 34.
She would have been 34.
She should be 34.
Whether he died at the same time or not is obviously still left in the air.
Right.
Because he very well might. He obviously didn't. He died at the house, clearly. Mm-hmm. Or else he would not
Wouldn't
be stuck
be
in
the
house.
Right.
Well, Constance used to live there. And as we found out, she is Tate's mother.
Right. Another big reveal
Twist.
This week.
That was huge, yes.
Which, we have to admit, David called, on week one.
I did.
That,
really?
Uh-huh. What, based on resemblance?
I don't know. I just had a gut feeling.
You knew it.
Your weird TV intuition. Yeah. It's always so spot on.
It came up the minute we knew that she had more kids and that one of them wasn't handicapped. He said it right away that it was going to be Tate. So we have to acknowledge that David did call that.
Yeah. Predictions. Right.
Said in his creepy voice.
With his face.
I'm doing simple math here.
What do you mean?
As to how old?
Yeah, it was 18 years ago.
Okay.
If they were 16.
So, but do we think he died around the same time if his body's still in that? Or his spirit still at that same age?
It's. I mean, who knows? Because we see that Moira can change her sort of
back and forth,
her visage at any time.
Right. Young Moira is really hot.
She's the man. Quick shout out to the greatest movie of all time. Okay.
Oh my gosh, I know.
Yeah, girls with faces like this don't talk. Or no, wait, boys with faces like yours don't talk to girls with asses like mine.
Oh, she's in that?
She's the man.
The best movie ever.
Sorry, Alexandra Breckenridge. Sorry. Huge. Brett did a phone interview with her, I believe, recently.
He did.
Very
cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
quick shout out.
Yeah. Quick shout out to Brett Malik.
Who can't be with us for the past 3 weeks, but maybe sometime
he'll
get
back. He's a busy man. We're not going to hold it against him.
But so I guess that does leave in question what the rules are for these ghosts and what they can do, because it's very unclear as to whether they're stuck in their state or if they have control over how they appear. But Moira does seem to be the only person who has altered her appearance.
Right.
Well, also, Moira died when she was young.
But
which
now,
is interesting. Now she's old.
And this Moira has the actual gunshot.
Yeah,
oh,
the gunshot.
Freaky.
Eye.
And the
but what's also,
why is she allowed to age and the other ones aren't?
That too, but is the age difference between Alexander Breckenridge and Frances, who plays the older
actress, yeah.
Is it small enough to have her died as the young one in the 80s and her? I feel like that's still too wide of a gap between the two of them.
Where she would be if she was 18.
Were in the 80s, if you were 20, let's say, because she looks like a 20-year-old.
Right.
Then today...
You'd be 50?
Right. And I think that woman looks... Is this mean? Like mid-60s?
I'm pretty sure she is,
or
so
like
I don't 70s. Think that's mean.
Okay. She
I think that Frances
like
Conroy
woman.
Is mid-60s, I would guess. I would be surprised if she was in her 50s. No knock on Frances Conroy, but
right.
I just would be surprised.
Right.
So
just being honest.
Yeah. So that does leave the question as to Tate clearly looks to be a teenager or at least 18 or early 20s. So I'm excited and I want to know more of what happened to him.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys think he really likes Violet?
Yes.
Yes.
I do.
Really?
I
explain.
Do.
You don't?
I just don't know if he has ulterior motives. His mother certainly does.
His mother does, but I don't think he's on the same page as his mother. And I think that was sort of a clue. Was it last week when he was in the window and he wouldn't even acknowledge her as she was waving?
Yes.
Do you remember that? As Constance was walking by the house and he was in the windowsill of the house and she waved and he looked like he didn't either know her or want to know her and just backed away.
Also, the week of the house invasion... She was mad at him, and she was like, "Is this your handiwork?"
Right.
He was like,
"Oh,
no,
yeah.
I had hope."
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of think he does because she just seems like someone he'd like too.
Totally. And what was that that line that Constance said? That he craves your strength.
Yeah. Right. Because she sees a resemblance between Violet and herself, and Violet and Addie, which is something that she said that Tate does not possess, and so that could be why he's drawn to her.
But why didn't he want to hook up with her on the beach? He pulled an Edward Cullen, and that's not okay.
Well, he said that he couldn't Cullen. Get...
He can't touch her.
He couldn't perform because of the drugs that her
Which
father
Which was clearly
put him
an
up.
Excuse.
Well, it is also true.
Most teenage boys would want to find out. They wouldn't just be like, oh, I don't think the drugs are going to work. They would try it, okay? They would test the theory.
And... But so I think he was using that as an excuse.
Well, yeah, that too. Definitely.
So I wonder though, then could he even perform as if he's dead? If he could. Right.
I feel like that's the issue, is like he can't perform, but I just don't but then does he realize he's dead?
That can't be true, because Patrick went off during Halloween and was apparently hooking up with people.
That's true. Stumbling around at bars, I believe, was what he was doing. Yeah,
didn't he say he was getting unprotected blowjobs?
Yeah, he was on his fourth, I believe, unprotected blowjobs. Do they have protected ones?
Yes, they you're supposed to.
Okay. I did a really good job in there, obviously.
For all of our young listeners, use protection always.
At all times, oral.
Whatever.
And other things.
Moving on.
It does. I feel like there's so many questions about the rules in this other world that we're in. And I wonder if it's a case-by-case basis or if there are some hard and fast rules that we're going to come across.
Yeah, like maybe it depends on like how they died or where they died. Or
I just have so many questions, period.
Just one after
rules.
The next.
I just have so many.
Yeah, it's so we...
Too many to follow.
Right? Well, I want to jump into the second big storyline of tonight, the conclusion, sort of the conclusion. I guess we can't even say conclusion because I doubt it's actually concluded, but the continuation of Hayden and Ben and Vivian.
Yes.
Hayden has risen,
risen
from under the gazebo.
Right.
And is rotting from inside out.
She was pissed about the gazebo.
She was not happy that rinky wooden gazebo was her tombstone.
Hey, a gazebo instead of a headstone is pretty awesome.
True.
I'm just going to say.
Yeah, I agree.
An elegant structure versus a piece of stone.
Well, it's clear that Hayden, dead or alive, is quite off kilter.
To say the least.
But you want to know the thought I had as I was watching this episode? Yes, this show is completely unrelatable because we don't have dead people in real life.
Or do we?
Stop it.
Brand new information. No, but you know what? There was a glimmer of relatability in this. How many 20-somethings get involved with a married man, think, oh, he loves me, we had something special, he wanted to father the baby, blah, 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 blah. Then there's the sad wife dealing with it all. I just thought, oh my God, there is something relatable about this show.
I think that's something that we've seen throughout some of the episodes in this season so far, is that every once in a while they do give us something where it's like a real, actual storyline.
Well, sure. And I think that for the most part, that's sort of the idea of this show, is that these real horrors are almost scarier than the supernatural stuff that occurs on the show. I think that's
getting very metaphysical.
Right.
I love that.
I do think that's sort of the point of the series, is that these things that actually happen to us are almost scarier than ghosts and whatever.
100%.
And that's, I almost think that the real life horrors are what caused this supernatural stuff that we're seeing on the show. Mm. So I think that in each episode, I mean, obviously Vivian and Ben's struggles, regardless of Hayden, have been very relatable. Constance dealing with her children is very real and relatable. That issue of parenting and children not what you expect them to be, I think, is also very relatable. So I do think that everything is sort of grounded in a reality, and then it's obviously heightened to 1,000% because Ryan Murphy's out of his mind.
But he's brilliant. To come up with this stuff, I couldn't, even in my wildest dreams, to create this stuff. So.
Right, but so this week we did see... So Hayden is pissed, and she is now... Sort of circumvent.
Pissed, I think, is an understatement.
Right.
She's raising hell.
Crazy.
Literally
she's pretending
hell.
To blow up the dog in the microwave.
And that's a question I have for you guys. We were discussing this when we were watching it. Do you think that was actually pretend, or is the dog now a ghost? Because if the dog died in the house, the dog would be a ghost.
The dog is totally dead.
I think the dog is dead too.
I do too, because she's like, oh, it was a joke.
It was tomatoes.
She's
crazy.
She's nuts.
Yeah.
Whoa,
the end of that sentence.
You just blew my mind.
Right.
I didn't even think about
that. It didn't even cross your mind that the dog might actually be dead?
Well, because Vivian opened the bathroom door and the dog came trotting out. So
but she saw something explode. Remember, she walked past the microwave and we did see that red
which
explosion.
Freaked me out.
Could have been a tomato. I took Hayden's word.
So here's the thing.
It was a tomato.
But why believe anything she says?
I don't know. I shouldn't.
The
I
only,
shouldn't, I guess.
I believe the dog is dead, but the only way that I feel like that it can't be is because once whoever went to clean that microwave actually went to clean it, you would know what exploded in it.
Unless right. Moira cleaned
Moira,
it.
It was Moira, and she's
obviously not on their team. Yeah.
Situation.
All right. Well, she is sort of on their team.
What, she wants to hook up with Ben?
Who doesn't?
I think she has.
Doesn't. Okay.
I think that her Moira has ulterior motives with hooking up with Ben, wanting to hook up with
I think
Ben.
Her was positioned, was that was all to position Ben to dig her up to, yeah. so she could get out of this house.
Oh.
Because I think that was the point of, and we talked about this, I think it was 2 weeks ago when that happened. Clearly, Moira needing her body to be dug up, the only way to get out of this purgatory of the house is to have your remains removed from the house. And that's why Moira was so adamant at getting her body dug up. And that's why Constance was so intent on that,
him
paving it with concrete. Because you saw at the end of that episode when they were in the window, she said, "You're stuck here forever now." And Moira was sobbing because she realized that was her chance. Now, unless that gazebo is demolished, her remains are stuck there with Hayden.
Which, isn't Zachary Quinto's character, weren't they like,
they tried,
get rid of that gazebo?
They told him to get rid of the gazebo. Right.
But he doesn't want to now because of...
Because of Hayden.
What is the guy with the half face?
Larry?
Larry.
Sure. I don't know any of their names. Is he dead?
He can't be dead because the only time we've ever seen him other than this episode is outside of the house.
Right, he went jogging in Silver Lake.
He's been in jail.
Yeah.
Wait, but Moira like left the house because
only
of her
on
mom.
Halloween.
Only on Halloween. That was the rule they introduced this week. In part one, Addison was talking to Constance when they were reading the book. Or excuse me, Adelaide, Addison. Yeah. Mixing private practice.
Love that too.
In my head. Adelaide told Constance, you know that ghosts can walk their room free on Halloween.
Yes, and
Constance
she goes,
we've known that
know.
Forever.
Okay, so it's your
so
past.
That was how they explained it. That that one night, that's why everyone was marching back into the house in the morning. That's why the ghosts on the beach
boys.
Said, the sun is coming up, we have to go. Everyone had to go back to where they were stuck. But Halloween night was their one 12-hour window
because
to roam
shine some
free.
Light on the situation.
Well, that makes total sense because the boys from the first episode...
Yeah.
We're walking with the two like sorority
with the
girls,
nurses,
the nursing
the
girls,
nurses.
With everyone who's been
everyone
introduced.
Who's died right. in the house who's been introduced was coming back all at the same time, sort of shuffling.
Except for the original owner, his wife was there,
but the doctor
but
wasn't.
The doctor was not.
Wasn't
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And wait, what did she do?
To question.
What did she do in the episode? Did she speak to Ben?
She spoke to Ben when Ben was tied up in the basement, and she said to him,
like, save your baby.
Save the
she
baby.
Said, I will not permit another failure in this house. Save the baby. So we're building to, okay. I think, as we saw in the coming shots for next week, we're really building to the baby,
this baby.
Is this,
this demon child.
This thing.
Right.
Right.
Demon so, alien fetus.
My question to you guys, going back to Hayden, how we got into this, talking about Hayden's storyline. At the end, the security guard, who very clearly is a living man, mm-hmm. I think we can agree that he's
yeah.
alive.
He's
the,
alive.
And, by the way, die for him.
Morris Chestnut.
Was that the actor's real name?
Yeah.
Yeah, die for him.
Yeah.
Love him. He's got a great presence about him.
Yeah.
Do you have any feelings about him? Do you feel as strongly as I do?
Do you want to kiss him?
I can't say I do.
I was kind of indifferent towards him, but now I might have to rewatch this.
I mean, I just thought, I'm such
loved
a sucker.
Loved him, loved his presence.
No, I'm such a sucker for like
big
blunt masculinity. Like, he just walked up to the door, he responded to the panic button, and he was just like, you feel safer with me around? Call me if you need me. Like, I thought that was...
Well, now I have to ask you guys, I've seen some, I guess, chatter online when I do my research for news and gossip. There's a lot of talk out there about a sort of flirtation between him and mm-hmm. Vivian. Have you guys picked up on that?
Yes.
And 50,000%.
For sure. To see
The sexual tension was evident.
Right?
You didn't see it?
I think especially their first scene this week was where that was sort of the most obvious when they were...
Well, even in last week when he was setting up the
yeah.
the whole security system, just the way that he spoke to her and...
It's more than just a job, I think, for him. Like, yeah. I think he really wants to protect Mrs. Harmon.
And especially at the end when he's taking Hayden to jail, he says, you know, Miss Harmon's such a wonderful woman. Why would you want to scare her like that? Why would you want to do that to her?
Does he know it's the death house?
I'm
who
sure
knows?
He does.
Like, who
well,
doesn't
it's public
know?
Knowledge, because remember they did that tour? So obviously people know that something's
so
up
now,
with that house.
So now she's gone. Does he know, like, What?
Well, that's what I
don't. I can't even put it in words.
Because we see he gets to the police station, he opens the door, he's just been speaking to her. He walks around the car, and then there's just a pair of cuffed handcuffs.
Right, she's gone.
Clearly, so I guess.
Do you think my question is? Do you think she made it back to the house?
Well,
or did she just like vanish into thin air?
Disapparate. I think that's something to wonder. If and I was gonna wait till predictions to bring this up again, but we can touch on it now. Are we going to see Hayden again? Because did she disappear? Or does the house, if you don't like make it back, does it pull you back and sort of just grab you back in if you don't go back to it?
I feel like it has to, because otherwise don't you think Moira just like
would have stayed
leave
out
and never come
right,
back and
exactly.
be like, forget it. I'd rather take something other than this.
I feel like it would have to pull them back in. And I have a feeling that's what happened, that her spirit was just taken from that car because it reached the certain time when the pumpkin turned back and the carriage turned back to the pumpkin and she had to go back to the house.
Right.
So it's very interesting. So that's where we're left, is with them, with him opening the car door and Ben has left.
So Hayden will forever be enslaved to that house because she's buried under a gazebo.
So I feel like
they're never going to get rid of her.
Hayden, unless the gazebo gets destroyed and he digs it up.
Digs her up.
If he eventually realizes that's what's going on, I'm sure he will.
Interesting, because in the credits they keep calling like Zachary, do we want to call him Quinto or Quinto?
It's Quinto.
It's Quinto.
Okay. Love it. Hispanic?
I think so. I think he's Mexican.
Hot. Love it.
love him.
They called him a guest star. They called Kate Mara a guest star. Are we going to see if she's dead and she can't leave the house, obviously she can't leave the show.
Yeah, I feel like there has to be at least an opportunity for her to recur. I feel like that's still up in the air. And she's actually, Kate Mara was special guest star. She was like very highly credited in these credits. I think that she and Zachary Quinto were the only, they both were like special guest stars. Mm-hmm. They've been credited as such.
I only really know her from Entourage.
She's Rooney Mara's sister.
Right.
She was also
a big deal.
Right. Well, I only know that because
that's
like,
why she's special.
Well, Kate Mara worked with Ryan Murphy on Nip Tuck. She was in a handful of episodes of Nip Tuck. She had an arc on that. And then she was kind of, there was like a moment where she kind of blew up and she was in We Are Marshall. She was in that movie.
Right.
And that was like supposed to be her jumping off point. And sadly, I don't know that it happened so much for Kate Mara. But she's here working on American Horror Story, which I think is
She's a very huge. Talented actress. Yeah.
Do you understand? I mean, well, of course you understand you're an actor. But how difficult must it be to play psychotic and believably well?
Difficult. Like, really, really difficult. It's not like the easiest thing to do, because as an actor, you have to believe that you're not psychotic to make it come across as crazy.
So Kate needs to say, Kate, you're not psycho, so act psycho.
Right, because you have to believe that what you're doing isn't crazy.
Exactly.
Because otherwise you just look like someone playing crazy.
You can't judge your own
character. So you have to believe what the character's doing is to believably portray it.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
And I feel like it's also, that's like the last like layer of inhibition that an actor would have to shed to be completely nuts. Like there's that's like so it's very like naked acting, because it's so crazy and so scary.
That's the thing about roles like this, is that they say that when you do something like this, you have to make sure that you're being watched by a therapist and you're going into therapy and people are watching you, like Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
And anyone that's ever played the Joker has always been told to make sure that you are
highly monitored
by a professional.
Yeah.
Okay, so should we check in on Kate at some point?
Should we maybe call her?
Should we call her people and make sure she's okay?
Are you okay? I'm a little concerned for you.
We'll have a running update each week.
Yeah.
How is Kate Mara? Special report after those 2 weeks.
Love it.
All right, well, let's jump to a commercial at this point, and we'll be right back.
Ooh.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
They follow vision and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig!
The wig
will
come off.
when the TV show is over, get your AfterBuzz on.
All right, welcome back to AfterBuzz TV for American Horror Story. So every week we have been bringing you a little movie recommendation. We've been calling it our American Horror Story Film Night. Mm-hmm. We've been speaking about films that relate to the topic that you've seen this week in American Horror Story so that you can continue your creepy, scary fun.
Yeah. Keep indulging yourself.
Into the weekend.
Into the weekend. So tonight, the movie that I wanted to talk about is What Lies Beneath, 2000, from the year 2000. Film directed by Robert Zemeckis, written by Clark Gregg, starring Harrison Ford, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Amber Valletta. Have you guys all seen this film?
Yes.
You guys?
No. Actually,
you haven't? You don't remember in the previews the red dress?
Well, I remember her going underneath the bathtub.
The bathtub. Yes. Which is exactly why I wanted to speak about this movie this week. Because the film is about this woman. They live in this gorgeous lake house.
It's Michelle Pfeiffer and Harrison Ford
are this couple. They have a daughter away in college. They're sort of empty nesters. The husband also isn't home a lot. So Michelle Pfeiffer's character is often by herself. And she begins to find herself haunted. Mm-hmm. By a spirit of a woman. She encounters her often in the bathtub, which there was a lot of similarities this week with Vivian and Hayden in the bathtub and the bathwater, and which was what reminded me of this film so much beyond just the ghost of a woman. We come to find out that the woman was murdered, and she's accusing Harrison Ford's character of being the murderer, and it's up to Michelle Pfeiffer to find out what actually is the truth and what actually happened. So very similar themes to the Hayden, Ben, Vivian storyline. Playing back and forth, and just the bathtub scenes were almost appeared to be like a direct homage
almost identical
to me,
yeah,
because they were very, very similar. So if you go back and watch the film, and if you've seen tonight's episode, I think you'll pick up on that.
Mm-hmm. Notice the similarities.
Yeah, it's a great movie. It's super scary.
I
didn't find it that scary personally. I thought it was more like creepy and jumpy, but not scary.
More thriller than horror.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
It came out when
it's
I was
also
younger.
Amber Valletta.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Stunning.
Yeah.
Revenge.
Yes.
Is she on Revenge?
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
Not.
She is.
Now she's in a coma.
Uh-oh. How many shows do you watch, honestly?
It's not normal. You don't even want to.
I think I'm probably right there with you because we've talked about three separate shows in this 1 hour that we both watch now.
Love them all.
It's great. We'll talk later.
Love it.
So we recommend What Lies Beneath for your American Horror Story film night. And now let's jump into some news and gossip with DJ Desi in the booth.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, so this is an EntertainmentWeekly.com's interview with Ryan Murphy. Question one, are Chad and Patrick returning? Yes, they come in two episodes from now in an episode called Rubber Man.
So is that who's lurking in the house?
The giant condom?
Yes, the giant black latex condom.
No, because the rubber man is who
Tate
killed both of them.
Tate.
Remember, we saw that last week. The rubber man killed them.
But he wore the rubber suit.
It's definitely not him, though.
I think that's a throw-off.
I feel like the rubber man is the doctor.
That's what I said.
Saucy.
Wait, you stole it from me.
I said it weeks ago.
Wait,
uh-oh.
No, you didn't.
I have a question.
I said it weeks ago.
Drama.
You stole it from me.
Who's kicking it underneath Violet's bed and trying to touch her little ankles?
Addie's.
Violet's bed tonight.
It didn't look like Addie's hands. It looked like a man's hand.
But she had been there before, hadn't she?
Last week.
But now she's
I just assumed it was her again.
Yeah.
Okay. Never assume with this show.
And we saw Addie's like dead.
So what? Because she died in the street.
And not on the house. That's why
really
Constance
gone.
Was so desperate to get her to the street before she actually finally
passed
died.
On.
Got it. Yeah.
Poor Addie.
Okay, so do we know whose hand that is?
No.
We'll talk about it in a second.
Okay.
All
right, why is Chad so mad? Dr. Seuss. I think there's...
Well played.
Ryan Murphy said, I think there's a great sadness that Zach plays to somebody who sort of gave everything to something, be it the house or relationship, and then it doesn't turn out to your preconceived notions. I think he plays that frustration well. I also love his connection to Vivian in that he and Vivian are both with sex addicts. Oh. So there's great pain and frustration to loving somebody with that situation, and also, like, why do you stay? I think he created this world of beauty and comfort and hopefully children in the future, and so I like the rage of it.
So interesting. I never looked at them being as both being sex addicts.
Ben and Patrick?
Ben and Patrick. I just looked at them as unfaithful husbands.
Well, Patrick definitely seems to be. I don't know so much that Ben is.
An addict?
I agree.
A sex addict.
All they do is talk about Chad and getting oral sex and go this and that. Yeah. But with Ben, I think he might have just been, unfortunately, kind of complacent in his marriage. Yeah. There was nothing fun going on, yeah. So he turned to something he thought was fun, a 20-something-year-old yeah. cute girl.
And I think it was also he was, not that it's excusable, but he was obviously dealing with so much pain with the miscarriage. And she, Vivian, had pulled away from him, and he was looking for something.
Right, Vivian replaced him with a dog, and he had replaced her with Kate.
With Hayden.
Hayden, yeah.
Right. So, it's interesting to hear Ryan Murphy call him a sex addict, and I wonder if that will be...
Well, yeah, if he's calling him a sex addict, he definitely is.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so hot. Let's hope that they played to that on the show.
No wrong.
I'm sorry. Dylan McDermott / Ben Harmon, 10 in my book.
Gorgeous.
All around
Saw
10.
Up close.
We. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, tell.
Oh, I live in Brentwood, and apparently so does he. And he opened the door for me at Lemonade, and I was like, hello,
you.
It was before this had even aired, though.
Did you say hi to him?
I was like, hey.
Did you tell him you wanted more shirtless scenes?
Super, like, breathy.
Nothing even came out.
So to all the viewers out there, if you're a Dylan McDermott fan like we are,
Brentwood's
go kick it in Brentwood.
Lemonade.
Love it. With his children.
Just hang out at Lemonade.
Oh, and he's such a good father, too.
I know.
Like, as if he's not perfect enough already. Okay, keep going.
All right. You just cast Mina Suvari, and she's playing the Black Dahlia from the 1940s. Ryan Murphy replied, yes.
Amazing!
Gives us a lot of answers with that one.
Not really, because unless this house has anything to do with that murder.
Well, the next question.
Okay.
So the next question is she involved in flashbacks with Dr. Montgomery? Ryan replied, yes. The interesting thing about that is there were over 60 people to step forward to say, I was the killer of the Black Dahlia. So we want to tell people what really happened to the Black Dahlia. You know it had to do with the up house.
Yeah, but the Black Dahlia, the house that the Black Dahlia was killed in is not anywhere near where this house is supposed
to
be.
I think they're clearly going to play with that, though.
That house is in Hollywood, and Man Ray was involved in that murder. Historically.
I think they're going to change. I think they're playing with things.
I mean, they have to do stuff for entertainment value.
Well, but he can't sit here and say what really happened to her if that's not what
really
happened
to her. Oh, he's
joking.
I think that
was
very facetious.
I was
just
saying, are you
going
to call Ryan Murphy?
I'm
going to
call Ryan Murphy and be
that.
Like, hello, Ryan.
I have a bone to pick with you.
Don't lie.
I think he was being facetious and saying we're going to tell people what really happened, because I don't think he's presuming that any of this is real. So that would
be pretty bold
to say that we're telling a true story called American Horror Story.
But I mean, how
it is, I'm terrified.
No, but you'd secretly love it.
No.
I would secretly love it.
Not if you lived on Long Island.
What?
Is that a diss to New York? You hate Florida, now you hate New York?
No, I'm just saying. The house on Long Island. What is that movie?
With Ryan Murphy. Not Ryan Murphy. Ryan Reynolds
was in it.
Amityville Horror.
That's on Long Island. That's a true story.
Never seen
it. Okay, well, I just want to say I'm particularly excited about Mina Suvari coming on the show.
I am too. I love her.
She is such a badass, and I think, oh my God, she will play that role so well.
Yeah.
Who played the Black Dahlia in the movie that came out like 8 years ago? Was it Scarlett Johansson? Yeah.
No, it was... No.
Scarlett Johansson was in that movie.
Yes.
Okay.
It was the girl who was on the L Word.
Yes, it was.
Mia Kirshner.
Yes. Oh,
Mia Kirshner was actually the Black Dahlia.
And she was
movie.
Also on Vampire Diaries.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. All right.
Boom. And I don't watch.
Yeah, which I
American
don't watch.
Horror Story will return for a second season, FX announced on Monday. This is one of the fastest pickups in the history of the network, which tends to wait until at least the 5th episode airs before renewing a show. But given the show's ratings, and it's just as important, the ratings growth the past couple of weeks, and hey, since it was also frickin' Halloween, this was an easy decision. It's one thing to have the ambition and guts to reinvent a genre in a way that makes it captivatingly fresh for broad audience. It's something else entirely to have the craft to back up that ambition up, said FX president John Landgraf. Ryan Murphy and Brad...
Landgraf.
There you go. Ryan Murphy and Brad Falchuk
have hit the trifecta with Nip Tuck, Glee, and now American Horror Story, which will be scarring FX viewers to death. Scaring FX viewers to death.
Scarring too.
I'm a little scarred.
For many years to come. Including Ryan DVR Murphy. Playback, American Horror Story is averaging 4.2 million viewers an episode.
Huge.
Including a strong 2.9 million in the adult demo. That's nearly the highest rated first year series ever for the network. The second series, like the first, will have 13 episodes.
Best news.
I mean, can we do a real quick? Can we do a real quick cheers?
Yes.
Thank you, FX executives.
And
quick shout out to DirecTV and Fox. Thank you for reaching an agreement.
Oh my God.
My life is complete again.
I was terrified leading up to November 1st.
Right?
As to what was going to happen.
I particularly loved the ticker at the bottom.
Congrats!
Yeah.
Great news! Great news!
And they like played it three times. I was like, okay, now you can stop invading my show.
Thank you.
Please. But yes.
That was a weird face. What were you just doing over there?
We don't have DirecTV, so that didn't really involve me.
You have DirecTV, obviously. Yeah.
Now, you're after Buzz TV.
It's fine for us.
Predictions.
Sorry.
Now you just have to.
What's going on? All right, so first things first, I want to ask you guys, the very last scene of this week's episode, we see Ben packing his suitcase and leaving the murder house.
Yeah.
Good for him. Get out while you still can.
Where do we
well, he's
think
being thrown out.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not leaving.
But I'm saying get out while you still can.
Inadvertently, it winds up working out well for him.
Right. Where do we think Ben's going to go? I mean, what options do we think Ben has?
Well, we've seen them talk about her, Violet, what's her name?
Vivian.
Wanting to get an apartment or, like, get a different house and while they try to sell this one. And he's like, we don't have
enough money.
The money for it.
I really have a feeling he's not going to stay gone for very long with this demon seed that's growing inside of her.
No. He's not going to be able to if she's having problems with the pregnancy.
Right. And the child's trying to beat itself out of her.
Growing so quickly.
So do we
Because
think
we did see her next week. She's, yes. like,
and
almost
full turn. It was, like, bruising her. Right?
Yeah, it looked like it was, like, punching
trying
like,
to rip its way out.
Yeah. Right, it looked like it was like a black figure, like scooping its way. It was
Oh my God, it's a baby rubber band.
It was a black latex baby.
So do we think next week it'll start with him like in a hotel room? Is that what we
Yeah,
think
probably for like
at least a motel.
That
I don't think he'll like, get a nice hotel.
You don't think he'd go to a nice hotel?
I don't think he can afford it.
I feel like he would be like at the Saharan Motor Hotel on Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, yes. My God. And then he'd find his next young hot
right
piece.
Next door and the to room, the Sunset the, Vale.
The Seventh Vale.
The Seventh Vale starring Lindsay Lohan.
What?
I did not just say that. Okay, you've seen I Know Who Killed Me.
Best movie
I've seen
ever.
So when I Know Who Killed Me, there's a story behind this and I'll do it quickly. In the beginning of I Know Who Killed Me, when the movie was in the theaters, not on DVD, the first scene was
her dancing.
The Seventh Veil. It was the exterior of the Seventh Veil, and then it was her dancing. And on the DVD, they've changed it to a different strip club.
Oh, because I saw it in theaters. So.
I did too.
I wonder
we're
when
such loyal fans.
Can't say I saw it in theaters.
I saw it in theaters, and it was packed. I had to like ask people to move over so I could get a seat.
Okay, well, let me tell you. It came out on July 4th, I remember. It was the worst 4th of July I've ever had. And I went with a few friends.
In part because you went to see I Know Who Killed Me.
Exactly. It
mostly
was empty. It was empty. It was like the four of us sitting in the theater. But wait, can I tell you my prediction, which is probably not right because I'm never right?
Yes.
Do you think he would knock on Constance's door and say, look, my wife asked me to leave? And I kind of want to be close. I can't be at home, but I want to be close.
But I want to watch her.
Yeah, I want to make sure that the baby's okay.
That'd be a good way to, like,
keep him
all around. Tied
in. Yeah.
That would be really interesting.
You just, just blew some minds there.
Oh, my God. Because my predictions usually suck. So
no,
I'm glad.
Really good.
That makes a lot of sense. I think that's the most logical.
Logistically,
and Constance would never turn down a young morsel.
No. Well, what was that stuff she put in the brownies or whatever that
the
was?
Ipecac.
The cupcake?
Yeah. Which ended up working out very well for
like
Violet.
Right. It makes you
ill.
Sick.
Oh, right. Violently ill. Yeah. All right. So who knows?
Why
she could pull a stunt like that.
Why did she try to do that to Violet? I don't.
She doesn't like Violet.
She doesn't like
Violet. She doesn't want her son.
Yeah.
She probably knew her son was lusting after Violet.
Yeah.
So.
And she has issues with
and
Violet.
And Addie clearly had like issues with Violet.
So I was nervous when they were having tea this episode. I was like, do not drink that
but
tea.
But she didn't.
She was like, can I have some?
I was
like,
so
watch her drink it first.
Yes.
Watch her drink it first.
It was so great that she took the cigarette and never drank the tea. I was like, okay, you're good.
God, she's such a badass.
Yeah.
I wish I was that cool when I was 15.
Right?
I'm sorry. That girl has like She has no inhibitions. She will tell you where to go. I love
her. She will burn you with her cigarette.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't you cross her.
And no. By the way, I hope they bring back those girls from school, because that was Maya from Pretty Little Liars.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's her name? Bianca Lawson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then also in there was someone else we recognized. Oh, Kristen Cerrados from Twilight.
Was that the main girl?
She plays...
I've never seen the Twilight films.
Oh, okay. Bella has two friends.
Yeah.
One is Anna Kendrick, and one is Kristen Cerrados.
Okay. Yes.
And I'm pretty sure that was her in the first opening at this school.
Can we just also talk about how Bianca Lawson is like 32 years old, and she
doesn't age.
Gets work constantly as a high schooler. Like, good for her and her teenager. Amazing genes.
And she looks younger now than when she was on the first season of Buffy.
Yeah. Homegirl is like aging. She's Benjamin Button.
She's Benjamin Button syndrome. Yes.
No.
Love it.
She's for real. Care.
Oh my God, would you die if we got her on our show?
I would die. I would have. I'd braid her hair.
Wait, is that what she does? Is that what she does on Buffy?
On Buffy, she played an African girl. So she had braided hair.
Oh. But
I would just braid it for fun.
Okay.
Just because you could.
Just because she's I could.
I'd be like,
all
sure
right.
She wouldn't be creeped out at all.
Moving on. My next question for you guys. So we saw this week, Tate is being confronted by these ghosts of his past, or who we are being led to believe are ghosts of his past. And he either doesn't remember or doesn't want to admit that he remembers or cannot remember. What are your initial thoughts? What is this? What's happening here?
Well, do you think that Constance sent Tate to Ben so that he could unlock some of his memories and like figure out who he is and then move on with his life?
Oh. That never crossed my mind.
Or is he just there to like torment?
Oh, I think he was. Because like
Ben is like a psychologist, right?
Right, psychiatrist.
Same, diff.
No, one to can me prescribe medicine.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
Slight difference.
I know, but so he can help him figure out the past,
right?
Overcome his
now,
demons.
That doesn't make sense. But the only evidence that I've seen that I think would go against that is in the second episode at the end when Constance, Moira, and Tate are looking over the bodies of the invaders,
mm-hmm.
and he says, we have to get rid of them so they'll keep seeing me. So right. There's something else there that they all need him to be doing, more than just unlocking his past. So that's
right.
Maybe Constance has that other thing in the back of her mind, but there's clearly something else there, the reason that they want Tate in the house and being seen by Ben.
Unless Tate is like the puppet master for all the...
Yeah, because he's already he's manipulated Violet. He's got Ben like as his therapist. All he needs is a Vivian storyline, and he'd have the whole house on lock.
And if he was the condom, then he would have his Vivian storyline.
Oh my gosh! Well, I do really want to find out who that was.
Also, in the first episode the one who brought forth that demon baby.
Yes.
What demon baby?
In the basement.
When?
Oh my God! Yeah.
Wait. Wait, with Violet down there?
That attacked the girl.
That attacked.
Well, he seems to have control over the other spirits in the house, because then in the second episode, he was also able to bring the ghosts of those murdered nurses to kill the intruders
as well.
So he clearly is in touch and is able to communicate with the spirits as well. But Addie was able to do that also. We remember Addie would play with the baby down there.
Right.
So Constance's entire family seems to be...
possessed.
Connected to the house in a different way.
I wouldn't say possessed, but... sort of in tune with what's going on there and is able to communicate with
it. So he realizes he's dead, though.
Yeah, I'm sure he knows that.
Well, he has to know them, because in the second episode, so that they'll continue seeing me.
Yeah.
But maybe he knows he's dead, but he doesn't recognize what
happened. He killed everyone?
Yeah.
Do we think he went on, like, a killing spree, or he...
Well, that's what they're leading us to believe.
Like, all at once, or, like, at multiple different times?
He was obviously a nerd. Who was threatened and felt insecure and inferior to the jocks. They made it known that those were a group of jocks.
But it wasn't just jocks. The ghosts made that known, because the sort of skater-looking guy said, but you didn't go after just the jocks. Amir was, he points to the other guy and said he was the valedictorian. I wasn't a jock. Why did you go after us? And the other girl was a goth.
Okay, so that's true.
So he just went after anybody.
He went after anybody who he was obviously jealous of. A valedictorian, a football quarterback.
But like,
unless that's just a small subset of the people that he killed.
All at once?
Oh, you think he's killed more?
Maybe.
No, I'm saying in the school, yeah.
So you think he killed more than just that group of six kids?
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Didn't they refer to themselves as something, though? They were like, we're the Westfield something.
Haven't you Googled us or looked us up in the yearbook?
Famous.
Yeah.
So I don't.
Ooh.
And I love how she played that off. She's like, sorry, I don't know that you're popular. And they're like, okay, sweetheart, it's a little deeper than that.
Do you guys think that he has some sort of like really evil bipolar disorder?
Yes, I think he's schizophrenic.
In the sense of, because she really doesn't want him to find out about Addie. And if he was to find out about Addie, maybe he'd go on another killing spree.
Oh.
It's a possibility.
Yeah, he's a loose cannon, yeah. So to speak. So
exactly. But he also, though, is trapped in the house. He cannot leave the premises. So, I mean, to an extent, how much damage can he do?
Right. He can because only do damage,
he can only do
to,
damage
the Harmon
to the Harmon family. So it's not like he can run away and then commit another spree again, because he obviously could only leave the house on Halloween just as the other ghosts.
Right.
So he is stuck there.
Is that why they went on their date?
On that?
Yes.
Oh,
that was
okay.
Why he said it would be that night. When
so they're never going to go on another date again? Their only dates are
it's
in the basement?
Pretty lame date.
It's a pretty lame relationship.
Well, yeah, that too. Well,
okay.
Yeah.
We'll see how long it lasts.
So there's so much with Tate. There's so much,
oh, my
too.
God. I'm so excited to see how Violet responds to that, because she is a feisty one, and I feel like she would have no problem saying,
right.
I don't want to date you in my basement. Like, and I know it's a secret, but I want to go back to the beach, or I want to go do something.
And we saw in the coming scenes for next week, there's a scene clearly between Constance and Violet where Violet's crying, and Constance says, I was shocked when I learned it too, but you just have to deal with it. So Violet's going to learn some kind of a truth next week. There's going to be some sort of revelation presented to her.
Maybe Tate doesn't have penis.
He's a eunuch?
Thank you. Thank you, David Skiffoletti.
Hey,
thank you.
Maybe that's why you couldn't have sex with her.
All right. Well, on that note, I think it's time to say goodbye.
Yes. This was so fun. Thanks for
it
having
was.
Us.
Please come back next week if you can.
Yes.
We would love to have you here.
Oh, my God. We would love to be here.
Yes. Well, for everyone on AfterBuzz TV, everyone here, thank you guys for watching. Come back next week, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
Huzzah!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.